it's great to have such a variety of gifts in this place. Amazing gifts, isn't there? So we've been taking this trip through Acts, asking very much, isn't it, what is church? That's been kind of the heading, isn't it? What is church? And I've referred to that several times during my talk. I do hope that you're starting to grasp that you are not just a random group of people, but you are a family who grow together, learn together, share together, and stand together. God is our head, as we know. You know, Jesus is the King who oversees all the children, protects and guides us, our God, our King, our Lord. He speaks to us through his Spirit. He equips us to be his people, doing kingdom work together. We are called to do kingdom work together. He calls us to be generous. He calls us to be different from the world that we live in, even giving, forgiving at our worst the worst times when something awful happens. We are called to forgive, aren't we? He teaches us to be grace in a world that we so often look around, don't we, and we see revenge and a lack of mercy. We are called to be different to the world. We are the church. His church. Together with the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are the church. We have one foot on earth and one in heaven. We should be here, ready to do business, but knowing that we have that eternal destination. Live in it. Here in the scriptures, Stephen has just been killed. And he was an incredible example, wasn't he, of grace and love as he breathed his very last breath even. Amazing story, isn't it, of a man of faith. A man who exhibits faith in action as he dies, knowing that there is more for him. He knew that. Trusting, even as he dies, that he is in the presence of Jesus forever. What a man of God. What an example, Stephen. Is. And we have Saul. Saul, who would become the great Apostle Paul, killing Christians. There he is, he's killing Christians. This must give us all hope, actually. Hope for those in our family, hope for those that we know that do not know Jesus. However anti they may appear, the truth is our God can turn them around. Turned Paul around is a great story of a life there, isn't it? Transformed by our God. I want to really encourage you today, if there are people you are praying for, there will be people you're praying for those who do not know Jesus. I want to encourage you to keep praying. Don't give up. No one is beyond the reach of Jesus. Not one of us is beyond the reach of Jesus. The Spirit can change a heart that is stone into a heart that is flesh. Don't give up praying. For those around you. Don't get up praying for your loved ones to know Jesus. Don't think it can never happen. Look at St. Paul. And even after that awful event of Stephen dying, and even though the other followers must have realized that their own lives are in danger, they are so certain of who Jesus is, he is God, and what they believe, that they continue to be disciples. They continue to preach Jesus. That says something, doesn't it? Would we continue to preach Jesus if we thought our life was at risk? So the first missionary move of God, it's not a plan, it's not a program, it's instigated by persecution. They were scattered. They were scattered and they preached the gospel. They don't give up. They hold on. They trust Jesus. And then in the story, we have Philip preaching and doing miraculous signs. Wherever God's people go, his presence is with them. We can be sure we will see great things happening. We should be expecting God to change our lives and to change the lives of those around us in many different ways. We should be expectant of it. We can pray knowing we have an active God. Talked about that, didn't we? How we, the action and the words together. made truth. The healings that are miraculous signs here in Acts cause great joy. I love that. They cause great joy. God's people bring joy wherever they go. We should be bringing joy wherever we go. Do we? Do you bring joy wherever you go? Because you carry the presence of God. It'd be great to start really sharing what God is doing here at St. James. To share our joy, wouldn't it? Even more than we do. To keep sharing it. To pray and see God doing stuff. And it become normal. Normal part of who we are. The joy of what God has done in our lives. We should expect God to move amongst us. We should expect to be filled with His Spirit when you pray. It's not about feeling, it's about knowing God meets with us. Let's pray that we have more testimonies to share every week of what God has done. You know, I encourage you, email me with your stories. If God has done something this week, get, you know, my email's everywhere, but, you know, I would love to hear it. Email me if you want to share something on a Sunday that God has done this week. Email me. I want to hear your stories. I want to hear what God is doing with each of us here. So here we have a situation that Philip is in Samaria for no reason other than that that is where he's been scattered to. And as we know, the Jews didn't go near the Samaritans. They were actually regarded as half-Jews. They were regarded as heretical. And they apparently only believed in the books of Moses, not the rest of the scriptures. And they believed God should be worshipped on the Mount Gerizim, not Jerusalem. So a lot of things underlying here. And here we have God's people in their presence. So Philip is introduced to them as someone who does miraculous healings. And they become interested in what he says because his actions make them interested in what he says. And we know the best healing is to know Jesus. One leads to the other. And again, the words he speaks are shown through his action. He worships God who raised from the dead. And he knows the power of God in his own life and his own ministry. Therefore, he can be heard. They hear him. Because they see his actions. They see what he does. They see his life. They see who he is in Christ. The interesting thing here is he would have been likened very much to Simon the Sorcerer. Can you imagine? One is authentic, Philip, just in case you're wondering. One is false, Simon. And so often the two can get mixed up, can't they? We end up with this mix of stuff that isn't right. We don't know why Philip's signs and wonders were better than Simon's, but we can assume that they saw that Philip was very authentic, he was real, and that the power of the Spirit was so present that the truth was seen by those around him. Not only that Simon himself believed, so he must have seen that what Philip offered was real, and known that what he had wasn't real. Simon believed. It changed him. Simon was astonished by all that Philip did. Then Peter and John come along to see what's going on here. I wondered actually if they were a little bit surprised to see mission work happening amongst the Samaritans quite at this extent, checking it out. Although, if we remember the story, Jesus had already been there, paved the way as he met the Samaritan woman at the well, didn't he? And he led her to faith in him, and she ran to her village and told the Samaritans all about Jesus. So there'd already been stuff going on there. But here, the people are baptized in the Spirit. And that would have been a new thing happening. It'd have been a very new thing happening. Here, we have proof as well that Jesus is for all of us. All of us. There is no one that cannot be met by the Lord Jesus. The Samaritans can receive the Holy Spirit, and this makes them equal with the Jews. They are no longer off limits. If the Holy Spirit lives in them, they are children of God, equally believers. We must never exclude people. God wants to meet with us all. Holy Spirit is for us all. So what is church? Well, it's a family. We are family, I hate to tell you. We are family. It's family who move in the power of the Spirit. Miracles happen and God transforms lives. We together preach the word, whether that is standing up here, whether that is in our lives, whether that is meeting people in the street, whether that is your neighbours. We preach by our words and by our actions. We are called to make a difference in our community, to be people who make a difference everywhere we go. But the thing is, it's all from Jesus. It's not about us, is it? It's all about him. It's all about him, being centered on him. Jesus is the reason that lives are changed. Jesus is the reason that we see miracles and healing. He is the one who gives us life. Life in abundance. I've seen miracles in my life. I've seen them. My mum, she had a stroke many years ago and went for prayer and she couldn't walk properly. She had a stick. And literally straight after the prayer, she got rid of her walking stick. She was fully healed. She was able to walk without the stick anymore. I've seen other things happen. I've seen a lady whose arm was so damaged in a car accident, she hadn't moved it for 30 years or so. She went for prayer through the name of Jesus. And then she was able to move it again, normally. I've prayed for people. I've seen them heal. I've seen God move. I know sometimes he doesn't do stuff. I don't know why. But I do know if I don't pray, I won't see anything. I've seen God working. I've seen him do things. God working in his spirit, through his spirit. He is alive today, through us, in us. But it's about him. I've seen so many people emotionally set free from pain, the stuff they've carried. I've seen lives changed. I hope you have. I've been one of those. What stories do you have? What stuff has God done in your life? So when the apostles meet with Simon, the sorcerer, we are reminded that we can't be for Jesus and also worship dark powers. See, they're all about him and it's not. You can't mix spiritual stuff. If you are messing with Ouija boards, tarot cards, spiritist church, you name it, you are messing with dangerous stuff. You can't mix it. We're either for him or we're not. And I want the real thing. He's the real thing. The Holy Spirit is the real thing. The spiritual world is real. There is dark as well as light. So Simon practices sorcery. And as with any good counterfeit, it looks good. The people are amazed. I've heard that because, oh, they got it so right. But their source is not Jesus. It's not right. It's a counterfeit. Interesting that he's referred to as someone as great. Interesting as well, he boasts. He's not a very humble man here, is it? It's no humility. It's through him. He's looking for power for himself. He's a celebrity. It's about him. How many times do we see that? Many have followed Simon, but when Philip arrives, even Simon believes. Even he sees it's real. He watches as people are filled with the Spirit. He sees the real thing. He wants the real thing, but he misses the point, doesn't he? He seeks the gift for his own glory. We must never seek the Holy Spirit for our own glory. It's always about giving it out to others, showing Jesus to others. This man wanted to make himself great. Not the Creator, not God. He hasn't yielded to Jesus, the King of Kings. He doesn't know him. He thinks he can buy what he needs. And we have discernment here. How many times do we discern things? And we just question ourselves. But the Holy Spirit is warning us sometimes. And Peter here is not judging the man, he's judging spiritually where he is. Peter can see that his heart isn't right. And more than anything, Jesus is interested in the state of your heart, you know. What's your heart like? Is it good? None of us are good. But what comes out of our heart can be God. God's will. God's will. Christ-like. What's my heart like? The error that Simon the sorcerer made was thinking that the power of the Holy Spirit was the same as his magic, but just a bit more powerful. And Peter clearly has some spiritual discernment in the heart, into the heart of Simon and his intentions, as I've just said. And Peter does actually call him to repent, to turn away from his heart attitude. We can always come back to Jesus. Dealing with our bitterness, dealing with the stuff in us that makes us unloving, unkind, sharp, that isn't good witness. I used to hate the word nice, because I used to get called it when I was growing up, nice. And I used to really have to hate that, nice. But you know what? I've come to realise it's okay to be nice. It's a good thing. Being nice means actually being caring for others. What's your attitude? So what is church? It is us, the people, as a family, reaching out into the world to embrace all that will receive Jesus. Who will receive Jesus? I do not want to stand in the way of somebody becoming a Christian because of my attitude or because I exclude them. And I don't think our God ever intended people to be shut out from his presence. What is there in us that stops others knowing Jesus? It's about being authentic, moving in the power of the Spirit, expecting to see signs and wonders. Do you expect to see God doing stuff? Really? And that comes in all forms. It's about going where others will not go to preach the word. Where is there in our community that others won't go? Maybe we can go there. Let's go there. It is about your heart being right, not seeking for yourself, but for the glory of God and his kingdom. So what do we learn here? Firstly, we learn it's all about Jesus, isn't it? We learn that we must examine our hearts. And it asks us questions, doesn't it? Do I promote myself? Is it about my glory or his? Where is Jesus in your life, in my life? Do you compromise? Are you playing with dark stuff? Are you missing the spiritual stuff that you shouldn't? Because you can't do both. You're either for him or you're not. Everything comes from Jesus. The Spirit is the gift. He is the giver. Are you filled with his Holy Spirit? Do you pray to be filled with his Holy Spirit? Do you expect to see him moving? So I want us just to pray now. Seek God.